in describing what exactly was Mischadish on Har Maimon Har Sinai, Matan Torah on Maimon Har Sinai. So Anshe Knesset Gdola gave us the tefillah Atu Niglesa Baran Kvoitcha Alam Kotshecha Ledabe Imam. Kadosh Baruch Hu was Nizgala on Har Sinai and Hashemai Mishmata Koylecha. And then it says Be Galuyscha Malkein Al Har Sinai Lelamed La'amcha Torah Mitzvahs. Now Kadosh Baruch Hu was Nizgala on Har Sinai to teach Kol Yisrael Torah Mitzvahs. So the double lashon here, Torah and mitzvahs, seem quite redundant. What is in Torah if not mitzvahs? Yes, there may be other things there. There may be, let's say, stories that are not specifically mitzvahs. So if anything, it should have reversed the order and said mitzvahs and Torah. And befrat that the core of Torah is mitzvahs. The Rambam says that Moshe Rabbeinu was given the mitzvah and pirusha, which is Torah Shabbat Peh. So certainly listing it as two separate entities, Torah 1 and mitzvahs 2, certainly doesn't do justice to what the Teichen of Torah is. Bal Korchach, we're going to try to have to see that the mitzvahs is another dimension in Torah. It's something where there's Torah, and mitzvahs is another format for the way in which Torah was given to us. And we'll try to understand it as we go along. The Rambam Mor Nevuchim, Chelek Beis, in Perek Lamed Ches, he speaks about differences between the Nevuas of Dimyonis and Nevuas Amitiois and so on. Basically, he talks about describing a difference between a Nevuah like Moshe Rabbeinu and a Nevuah of other Nevi'im. And then he speaks about what's unique about Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. And that's Perek Lamed Ches. So he says, in Perek Lamed Hey, he had spoken about Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah being much more clear, and all the distinctions that he gives in the Arach Hazaka, he says here as well. And through Lamed Ches, he speaks about Nevi'im and Dimyon and so on. And now he says a new distinction between the two. He says that the only thing it's only Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah can be a call for Torah. And then he describes over here that something unique in terms of the content, not just the vehicle of Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu, but something in the content. And he says all those who had come before Moshe Rabbeinu and were Nevi'im, loy ama echad mehem klal shum sug me adam shashem shlochan elechem vitzivani loyma lechem kach vekach. No one had ever come and said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzave me to tell you this and this, v'ishirchem laskach kach, and was mazeh you, v'tzivchem laskach kach, as mitzave you. Dover kezeh loy losh natoy meid alav, loy mesores emes amrasay. We don't find this in any losh of the Torah that there would be something like that, nor any mesores. Ela, kol elo yibolem chazoin meis Hashem shbarenu. All of the above, Avram, Yitzhak Yaakov, Shem Ve'evim, Sushalach, Hanoch, all these people, they would get a vision from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'misha govel of Oysa Hashef, HaGoyin Avram, Kibit, so somebody who would get a large amount of Nevuah, Kovatz B'nei Adam, would gather people, V'krom al derech halimud v'adroch al emes shehisig, would then would then instruct them as regarding the emes. K'moshe Avram alamed l'bnei Adam or mevayelam b'rayis yunia sheish l'olam l'kai echad, like Avram who would teach people and so on. And you would teach them what's appropriate and what's right to do and what's not right to do and so on and so forth. But loisha amalahem epam Hashem shlachani lechem tzivani lazireni. Never would they say Hashem sent me or HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed me or warned me. And he said, and even when they had a particular personal command, like Mila, they would never foist at other people and so on. And he says, the same is true with the Ovis and so on. So the Rambam here is teaching us that one of the distinctions of Nevuas Moshe to other Nevi'im is that Nevuas Moshe is something that included in itself two elements, Tzivui and Shlichus. Whereas the other Nevi'im, they saw everything, they learned up, but they never ever had access to Tzivui and Shlichus. So, okay, it's a difference, a distinction, but in the Rambam, this seems to be the core distinction between Moshe Rabbeinu and all the Nevi'im. So the first distinctions that he said in Peklam Hey, which describes the level of clarity, we understand that as a real distinction. Here, it just happens to be. I mean, not every Navi was made against Tzur. Yishai has a Navi against Tzur. It says no other Navi was given the task of telling and being mitzaveh. So the Rambam is describing that the nevuah of tzivui and shlichus is very, very different than the nevuah of regular nevuah, and that distinction is as great as the distinction of aspakal mira and aspakal she'ini mira, the distinctions that mark Moshe Rabbeinu with other nevi'im. We would understand that it's this unique facet of Nevuas Moshe that expresses itself in the Torah mitzvahs, that something about the giving of mitzvahs in Maamar HaSinai, where this was Moshe's primary Nevuah, it lies in that distinction. So we need to understand the difference between Diburim V'Kadosh Baruch Hu and Tzivuim V'Kadosh Baruch Hu, how they distinguish one from the other. The pasuk says, "Ki hu ama vayehi, hu tziva vayamid." HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an amira, and the amira is something which brings things into the world. In other words, basar mamar nivra olam. Every time vayeh Hashem yior, vayeh Hashem tach haaretz desha, and so on, those amiras are things, they are the means to bring things into existence. Hu Amar, Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke, Vayehi, and things came into being. There's a second half. Hu Tziva Vayamod. Kadosh Baruch Hu was Mitzave, and Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded. Vayamod means, Moshe Shonim explained, it took on a permanent existence. It lasted forever. The ability to stay was due to the tziva vayamid. It sort of is hinted to in the pasuk, like it says, "Yom Hashishi, everything was totally oymed until Yom Shishi, if there'll be mekabel Torah." So there's a division between the bringing things into the world and the continued existence of things within the world, and that difference is described by the difference between amira and tzivui. To understand the difference in Amira and Tzivui, and why it is that to bring things into existence, Amira is enough, suffices, and to keep things existing, one needs Tzivui. We need to understand a little bit about what Tzivui does, what Tzivui accomplishes. If we look into the actions of a person, of an individual, so every person has in himself a guf, and that is a vehicle, that's a tool, or better said, a multi-tool of execution in this world. Person has hands and feet and eyes and ears, and all of those have the ability to accomplish things, to do things. the person has a toichen, person has content of rotzon and das, willpower, intelligence, and those direct the guf as what to do. So really, a person, it consists of two elements, one inside the other. The chitzonius is the guf. It's something which is the is that which does what executes that which the seichel and das want and deem as appropriate of accomplishing. That's the tzura of a person individually. When somebody commands me, when someone, so the very idea of a commandment is something which we, if we think about it, it's highly extraordinary. It means that somebody else's ratzon and das has now become the driver in my vehicle. A real tzivui is not when someone commands me to do something and I do it, that I'm not doing it because I'm forced to do it, in which case I make my decision that, listen, the choice is doing it or not doing it and getting walloped over my head. I will choose not to get walloped over my head and I'll do whatever he wants of me. That's me deciding, and that has nothing to do with the other person. But when I feel that it's appropriate that the other person, that the other person is appropriately a metzaveh, a king to a subject, a parent to a child, and so on, that's something which is unique. The concept of a command is unique. It's one person's das and rotzen, using the other person's kelei, bitzua, executionary abilities to execute whatever it is he has in mind. We find a halacha that reflects it, that speaks about and reflects it. The halacha is the concept of shlichus. Shlichus is something unique. I need to marry a woman, and I can have an agent do it for me. That's a chiddush. That's shlichus. The halacha is that goyim are not eligible for shlichus. They cannot become shluchim. Now, we learn it from something from ma'atem bnei bris, afshluchachem bnei bris. That just like you're members of a covenant, so too a shliach has to be a member of a covenant. Learning the sugya, as we did this year, we understood it that from the perspective of that there needs to be a commonality between the mitzvah and the mitzvah, between the shliach, the mishaleach, and the shliach. That is the reason why it has to be all bnei bris. Looking at it from the perspective that we're drawing now, we have another understanding. The Gemara says, in as regards Lishma, that Akum adaita de nafshi kavod, that a guy doesn't, if he does it, he does it because he decides to do it. He does it because he feels like doing it. The idea that my metzias becomes simply a vehicle for someone else's das and ratzon is something which is not, it's a mindset that a guy doesn't have. And maybe that's alluded to in the concept of bnei bris. Bnei bris, the Rishonim say, it's like when you cut two things and sort of as if it co-joins two different people. That your problem is my problem is your problem. So a certain element of taking one person's needs and welding it to another person's ability to fill them. So since Akum are not bnei bris, they never enter a bris. They don't have the ability to act on my behalf as in the way a shliach does. He can do me a favor, but he doesn't become a shliach. And that's why, since Akum Adayta Nafshe Kavod, a guy does things because he decides to do it, and he's never mevatel himself, so the concept of shliach doesn't exist. It would also help us understand an extraordinary halacha, and Gemara in Kedushin also speaks about this. It says that that if a person, there's a question in Gemara, if a father is mekabel shliach on behalf of his son, if it works, doesn't work, do we say they want, they didn't want? And the Gemara asks the question there, v'dilma shav yishliach. Maybe the son made the father shliach, and we should suspect that that's what we witness now. We saw a father acting on behalf of his son. So the Gemara says, lechotzev inish deshavi lavu shliach. A person would not have the chutzpah to make his father into a shliach. Now, we ask our father many times for a favor. Sometimes we're a little more comfortable, less comfortable, but I don't think anyone feels in any sense halachically that any improper to ask for favors. I mean, pair of fathers constantly favor, and sometimes we ask for more, whatever it is. But it's true, because when we ask for a favor, we're asking for him to decide that he wishes to do us a favor. That's not a chutzpah. To be memana shliach, to make a father into a shliach, into an agent of ours, means that for that shlichus, the father needs to take his guf and allow it to become the servant of my das and ratzon. That's an incredible chutzpah. That's an incredible reversal of the order. And therefore, it's an ultimate chutzpah. If he wants to do a favor, he can do a favor. But a shliach, he can't. That's chutzpah. So shlichus is a concept that is built on the ability to be metzava someone else, and the other person accepting the tzivui. We develop a relationship of it's his das and ratzon and my person. It goes so far that the Gemara says maybe the shliach can't bear witness to what happened, because in effect he is one with the person who sent him to do it. So just like our neshama and guf don't separate, and we don't say, well, it's my neshama and guf that wanted it, my neshama and my das and ratzon wanted it, not my guf, or my guf wanted it, not my das and ratzon, we say you're one person. That's how far the Gemara would think shlichus goes. We don't pass like that, but at least we get an understanding of machlokas. We get an understanding of how far shlichus goes. So we have here a concept of shlichus, which is built on tzivui, on what happens when I speak to someone in a way that is mitzava and tzivui. Let's go to the pasuk. Ki hu ama vayehi, to bring things into the world requires an amira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because all beginnings are an amir of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But for something to continue to exist, there is nothing that exists in the world except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can say HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists in the world, and I exist in the world. So the only way in which things can continue to exist in the world is if I can understand that if I can understand the being that exists in the world as simply a vehicle for carrying out HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon, in which case he no longer is his own entity, but is the entity of he is really a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to display himself in many ways, sometimes very overt ways, sometimes through physical limited beings, but since the content of mine is all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so as physical as my expression would be, then it is also HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's simply a tangible form of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon is that I eat matzah, that people eat matzah. So my eating matzah is the expression of that. So the world has in itself a kiyum. The world can continue to exist never as its own metzias, because that in a certain sense would be saying that there can be two metzias in the world. There's a Kadosh Baruch Hu who has a metzias, and there's me. And sometimes I choose to do what I want, sometimes I'm naughty boy, don't do. But it's me, I'm a separate person. The only way in which I can have, or any Bria can have, a real existence in the world is because we're shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in our shlichus, in our being a mitzvah, we become one, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the difference between Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu and Nevuas the Avos. The Avos started as individuals, and they related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all sorts of extraordinary ways that they moved towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Moshe Rabbeinu, but they never could become the carriers of Tzivui, because to be a mitzvah requires a madrega of avdi, of being totally no self and being just understanding yourself as just a hemshich of Ratzon Elyon. That was something that was unique to Moshe Rabbeinu, and no other Navi had it. There's a pasuk. The pasuk says by tzav. That's how it's in Israel. The Rashi brings the Taras Kanim, who says that ein tzav a loshen zirus. Tzav is a loshen of zirus, to do it quickly, to do it kind of sort of to what's the right word for it? Move on it, to do it bezrizus. How is tzav zrizus? I mean, let's try to think a little bit in a practical way. Let's try to think in our experience, so to speak, language experience. Imagine we're told to do something by an authority figure that we can't resist, a parent, a teacher, a boss, whatever it is. So I understand that the commandment would force me to do it, but to think that I would that I would do it very, very eagerly, would I run to do it? I probably would do it at the slowest pace I could get away with without being disciplined. That's what I would do. In other words, where is the zrizus in tzivui? If anything, most people would fret at a tzivui. It would upset them if they have to do something someone told them, and they would drag their feet and do everything to sort of sabotage it in an active way or in a passive aggressive way. They try to do everything they can not to do it. But the answer is like this: when you have a maisa, someone comes and tells me, could you do this for me? So let's look at how many elements are involved. There's that person's ratzon and or das expressed to my ratzon das, which needs to command my body and to get it to do it. There's a gap. He needs, in other words, he needs to tell me, I need to say, yes, I would like to do a favor for him, or I need to do a favor for him, or I don't feel right unless I do a favor for him, and then I do it. There is always a gap, because I need to process it also and make a decision, will I do or want to do it. The decision could be in an instant, but it's still there. Now, let's take a different example. A person who is healthy and he decides to move his hand, there is no process. it's instant, so to speak. It's as instant as, you know, for us, what we notice. It's instant because the hand does not have a mind of its own. It's so the mind of the hand is my mind. So when I decide to move it, my hand moves because we're one unit. My head has the will and decision-making process, and the hand follows along. So if something is with a suggestion, it's I voiced a request, so then there will be another das interspersed between the two. But if I do it through tzivui, if the person is a bar tzava, if the person is someone who can accept it that way, then when I tell it to him with a tzivui, then it's bezrizus, because there's no gap between my mind and his mind. Doesn't exist. All he is just a hemshech of me, and that's and that becomes a one unit, and there is no time lag between the decision and the execution of the decision. So we have here a whole new understanding of what happened at Har Sinai. Until Har Sinai, people understood the visions of Torah, and they, some of them, the precious few, chose to live by it. They chose to live by it. Each one had his own midah. Avram had a midah of Ava, and because he was so attracted to it, he moved towards it and did it. Yitzchak had a midah of Yira. He was overawed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and understood that there's no way but to do Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yaakov had his midah, and so on. Those are all definitely the beginnings. Like the Gemara says in Pesachim, that at first you always make kares daite nafshikov. A person always does it for himself. A person, when he starts ruchnis, take a journey, he starts himself. That was the obvious. At Maimir Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu moved it to the next level, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought into the world the concept of a tzivui. When I'm doing tzitzis, the right way to do tzitzis is not, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked for it, I owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu lakas tov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's good for me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, knowing and understanding what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for me, is the greatest pleasure, and so on, and I'll do it because I think it's a great idea. I do it because that's who I am. I'm just a yada richter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave tzivuyim. He came down in Maimon Har Sinai to teach class of Torah and mitzvahs, meaning the Torah itself in the mitzvahic form. Torah was there until now, which is an understanding of the spiritual, of the noble, of the great, and so on. And now it's become transferred to mitzvahs. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Navi who brought it down this way. Moshe was a shliach. And Shluch Shalom K'moisei. Moshe was, when he wrote the Torah, he wrote it in first person. He didn't exist. He's the hand that's holding the pen, but he's not the person writing the book. Hoshea writes the Sefer Hoshea. The Sefer of Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was writing it. Moshe is the Sefer. Moshe is the pen. So that concept of Ruchnius, that aspect of Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu brought down as mitzvahs. The Kihu Oma Vayeh, he started at Bris Oilam, Utziva Vayamoid was what happened at Har Sinai. It's an understanding that helps us appreciate the great change in the Bria, in Shavuos, and in the macro picture. It also gives us a new way of understanding our own Avoda. Every person starts his Avodas Hashem through Midas, meaning I look at it through my perspective of Ava. What do I want? What's good for me? What do I like? What do I want to strive for? Which ideals? Or what are the things that, you know, I need to understand that anything but this, it brings me to no good, or however you understand Yira. That's the first step. There's me, there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I understand well that listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very good for me. In that first perspective, it would be a terrible thing for me to be mevatel myself. I mean, you're asking me to give up myself. That's taking me down so many notches. So in that first level of who Amar Vayehi, the becoming a ben Torah, the becoming a person of Torah and mitzvahs, that requires me as its own self, using the internal faculties, affinities or midas that I have to reach out towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to do what he said is right to do. But when a person, but that has in itself a limitation. One, the limitation is it can't last. If I can only do mitzvahs when I'm inspired to do mitzvahs, the inspiration will stop at some point. It'll become difficult. There are so many difficulties and so many moments of just lack of inspiration that it has no, if that's the way it's going to stay, it has no lasting power. The Amar Vayehi, I can become a Shema Torah Mitzvah, I can become a Ben Torah through Midas, through Ava, through Yira, but I can't remain one through that. And then a person realizes that I don't become lower when I become a mitzvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I become mechubat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My whole, what validates my existence, what allows me to exist, is understanding that I'm another way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is choosing to express himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to express himself in a way that my personality and my person is the tool for it. And that's where it's coming from. And now, I'm mischabat HaKadosh Baruch Hu through tzivui. And a person's HaKadosh Baruch Hu through tzivui and through mitzvah is enters into the world of who tzivui vayamoit. It gives a permanence to a person's ruchniistic activities. He no longer contemplates every moment, but this is who I am. This is, I find my inner self as being the expression of Rasam Bayri, and it's the chibur to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that really it that's called kemoisei. If the Rambam says that Moshe Rabbeinu was a shliach and of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that means that through the vehicle of shlichus, through the vehicle of being a tzivu and a mitzvah, he's now kemoisei. To a degree that it maybe it's one entity. To the degree that the Gemara says he's possible, that might be possible Eidus. That's incredible kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's meraimim the person to becoming a yad harichta HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to identifying with it. That's the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us on Shavuos. The transition, the whole world was standing, Yom HaShishi, was waiting for this Yom HaShishi, because the world couldn't stand under Amar Vayehi. So from Bereishis until this day of Shavuos, there is a Amar Vayehi existence. This is the point at which Tzivu came to the world. It means we can lift ourselves up to becoming Mitzvah Vayseh. Rabbi Yosef is the one who said, in the beginning he thought Eina Mitzvah Vayseh is better, and then he realized Godla Mitzvah Vayseh. So we're trying to speak of different pshatim, more schar, more nisyonos, and so on. I think there's a havana in the world itself, gadol mitzvaisa, because when a person is when we're talking about who's a bigger person, when a person is eina mitzvaisa, then all I am is me, and that's it, nothing more. So how big can I be? Huge. But I'm limited because I'm finite, because I'm a person. But if I'm a mitzvah v'oiser, then I'm infinite. Then I am basically a hemshech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where Rabbi Yosef, the herd, the godless of being a mitzvah v'oiser, because he's godly mitzvah v'oiser. He's someone that is a hemshech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he's much, much bigger than the person who's an ein mitzvah v'oiser. We should be zeich on Shavuos to be able to make that transition, at least in some areas, from being the ku'oma v'yedike type of people to entering the world of nutziva v'yamoid, and to be zeich to make permanent the kinyanim ruchniim, because now it's part of the world of tzivui. And when we act through tzivui, we there is no end to how big we can become, because we become the godly mitzvah of being a shliach k'moisei.